So when we saw Tiny Earth, people asked our crew what impressions we had. And honestly, what struck me wasn't necessarily just Earth, it was all the blackness around it. Earth was just this lifeboat hanging undisturbingly in the universe.
I revere the Earth. I have studied the Earth. I have traveled the Earth. I have been doing pretty amazing things as far as the atmosphere and my research is concerned. Wide-ranging research, from monsoons to the intricacies of turbulent transfer in the atmosphere. Land-atmosphere work and air-sea interaction were also part of my life. So I am really close to the Earth. And when I see and animals and insects, the whole thing is just such an amazing experience in my 86 years of what I have done and how I have traveled and experienced the Earth, that trying to keep this little piece of where I am last after traveling the world, where I have settled down, to keep this whole, to keep it going, to keep that ecosystem healthy.
This week on Local Motion, we're talking about conserving one of the Western Slope's most treasured resources, our dark skies. Throughout much of the KVNF listening area, when you step outside on a dark night with no moon, the night sky is dazzling. You can see the Milky Way with a clarity that few others on Earth are able to. In fact, 80% of the world's population lives in a place where the Milky Way is not visible at all. What does it do to a person to go through life and never see the night sky the way we have the opportunity to? To never stare up and wonder about your place on Earth and in the universe? But the night sky is so much more than just helping us understand our place in the universe. It's critical for our planet's biology, even for our own health. Yet, it is one of our planet's most quickly disappearing resources. In this episode, we talk with people who live on the Western Slope who are fighting to preserve our dark skies. I hope you'll stick around through this spacey Local Motion. And if you don't have time to listen today, no worries, you can always listen to Local Motion by looking for Local Motion under the News tab at kvnf.org, or you can search for Local Motion on Spotify. Today's episode is a little different. I'm going to work a little less on cramming information into your brain and a little more on getting us to slow down, think, and experience. We'll start with a conversation I had with Dr. Robert Grossman.
Okay. I'm a retired research faculty from the University of Colorado, a founding member of the Department of Atmospheric and Ocean Sciences back in the 80s. And I've had a wide and varied career in the atmospheric sciences, focusing mainly on airborne research. Now I've moved to retired to Norwood in about 1980s. Only in the 1990s, I bought some land here, and then I moved here from Boulder in the middle 2000s.
As a retired atmospheric scientist, Dr. Grossman has dedicated his retirement to preserving dark skies on the Western Slope. Here he describes his path.
About that time, I got interested in the dark sky movement. It was very low-key in Colorado at that time. There was just one dark sky community over there in West Cliff, Silver Cliff. And I heard a radio program one night saying that they had just received a thing called a dark sky community. While I'm looking at four lights in Norwood, and I said, slam dunk. Well, that slam dunk turned out to be 3 years of hard work, but we became the second dark sky community in the state and the first on the Western Slope.
If you're not an astronomy geek and don't take too much time contemplating your place in the universe while looking at the Milky Way, why should you care about dark skies preservation?
It became apparent to me as we carried on with this that that the dark sky was not just looking at stars. There is a definite overlap with astronomy, and in fact, the group that confers these communities and reserves and parks, now cities, dark sky cities. Tucson is a dark sky city. That's the Dark Sky International. It used to be called the International Dark Sky Association. They changed that name a couple of years ago. It's a global outfit that promotes the recognition and reduction of exterior light pollution. And while IDA was initially formed with astronomy in mind, it became very apparent quickly that this was a big environmental problem.
Yeah.
And the reason it's a big environmental problem, as we've discussed on Western Slope Skies, which we share with the astronomy club at the
CMU.
Colorado Mesa University. Yep. that it's the breaking of the circadian rhythm. The circadian rhythm is this night-day cycle that is built into our cells. One of our board members, Kate Fedak, has now a five-part series that's going to be aired on Western Slope Skies. She's a retired physician. Describing the biological and hormonal and everything else that goes on with the circadian rhythm, which is what we've evolved with. A life on Earth, in every aspect except in the abyssal-most oceans and deep in caves where there's no light, has evolved with this light dark. And so I still have a very strong interest in astronomy. We just had an astronomer out here taking astrophotographs in October. That it's the environmental problem that I'm really focusing on.
Olivia Bobbitt is the executive director of the Western Slope Dark Skies Coalition. She lives in Naderita in the west end of Montrose County, and here she describes the environmental side of light pollution.
Oh, yes, for sure. So, for example, with wildlife, there are lights that are incredibly bright that literally disrupt their natural rhythm. That includes humans as well. For example, with lighting, a lot of people tend to have outdoor lighting that doesn't necessarily have a fixed purpose and is on all of the time. With wildlife, that interrupts their flow, and it's wasteful. It's energy that's used that could be used elsewhere. As for humans, artificial lighting also comes from our TV screens, our cell phones, our iPads, our lights that we keep on indoors. And although that is something that we are all we all use, it's important to understand that that's not a natural way of living. And so there has been conditions that relate to artificial lighting and the use of artificial lighting at nighttime specifically. It messes up humans' circadian rhythm as well. So having that disruption leads to a lot of health conditions that people may not even know about.
Here, Craig Childs, author of The Dark Night, takes it a step further, describing excess light as a toxin.
It really disturbs our circadian rhythm, which is what drives most of our metabolic life. Every cell in our body has a circadian cycle that is matched to the daylight and night, and we're metabolically different creatures at night than we are during the day. We have different chemicals in our blood, and when you throw that out, first cancers start appearing. Light becomes a toxin. Excess light is a known toxin. And we have excess light.
But pause just for a second, yeah. Because for some people that might sound like a cuckoo way out wacky thing to say.
Yeah, well, it's a crazy thing that too much light can kill you, but too much darkness can kill you. You need both. You need light and dark, and our bodies are set up for this. Everything that has evolved on Earth has evolved, well, other than cave creatures and deep sea, but has evolved to light and dark, this shift. And it's this metabolic shift where you start producing different hormones at different times. But when you interrupt that hormone process and you start misfiring, you get spontaneous creations of cancers. It's in humans, it's in frogs, it's in everything. So light in itself, it is not a toxin. It's excess light that becomes toxic.
It's the missing the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need both. You need light and you need darkness. But to have just one throws our systems into disarray, and disarray leads to everything going wrong.
Dr. Robert Grossman.
Craig mentioned the Milky Way. Some other entity looks at the Milky Way. Dung beetles, which we have done a Western Slope Skies piece on, dung beetles, which are very important to the health of an ecosystem, travel by the Milky Way. They orient themselves and they go through the landscape looking at the Milky Way. So it didn't just create Craig Childs. It's birds, it's insects, it's ancient humans. The whole, I just can't separate myself from the environment. So I feel that I need to contribute, and this is one way that I can.
Craig Childs hopes to contribute by helping people understand the outsized influence that we humans are having on our planet, especially our dark skies.
Yeah. I'm hoping that seeing the context of things, seeing the time scales involved, the so many different elements of the environment, the nature of a place, that they will understand that, that's not just going to be there. That's not going to be intact unless something changes. And so I'm really writing for everybody. I'm writing for people who don't have environmental inclinations, so that when they read it, they'll go, oh, yeah, A and B are connected. I just thought it was B. And that's what I'm wanting to do is connect the dots for people where they realize how much our actions change things, how outsized the human sphere really is, because we influence our world on a scale that really nothing else does besides the sun and the seasons. We are a major player here, and it's easy to forget that and just think, oh, we're just on this earth and we're doing our thing, but we have a significant impact. And when we change our minds about something, it has a real world effect. And so I'm leaning toward this. I'm saying, if we're going to change your mind, try changing it in this direction.
You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Brody Wilson. This week, a spacier episode, all about the importance of preserving our dark skies on the Western Slope. If you're just joining us and have missed the first half, no worries. You can always listen to Local Motion by looking for Local Motion under the news tab at kvnf.org, or you can search for Local Motion on Spotify. Craig was talking about changing people's minds in a particular direction, and on the Western Slope, some people have already changed their minds, starting with Robert Grossman, a retired scientist, and a dinner party with a new friend.
A woman in Nuclea got in touch with us, Deb Stuber, expressing interest in Nuclea Naturita becoming a dark sky community. I went over there to show them how to use a little instrument that quantifies how dark it is. I thought I'd be there maybe 30 minutes to show her how to work it and leave, but I left with a bottle of wine, an invite to dinner, and the beginning of a really good friendship. She and her husband were just absolutely wonderful people. And she carried on turned Nuclea and Naturita into a joint dark sky community like West Cliff, Silver Cliff.
That friendship led to more. Nuclea and Naturita became a certified dark sky community, and then Deb Stuber had an even bigger idea.
Deb suggested that she's kind of effusive and inspirational. She says, well, let's turn the whole Western Slope into a dark sky reserve. And naive me, I said, well, I'm thinking about it, until I saw it was 22 counties and a spaghetti bowl of federal agencies. And I said, why don't we just kind of trim it down here to maybe San Miguel County and Montrose County, and maybe the county's contiguous.
What grew from that bottle of wine in Nuclea is now visible on a map, if you know where to look. Norwood, the first dark sky community west of the Continental Divide, then Nuclea and Naturita, now Ridgway and Paonia, Colorado's most populous dark sky community, where on a clear night, the Milky Way is still very visible. And there are the parks. Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park was certified in 2015. Garakonti, upstream on the Gunnison around Blue Mesa, was the first national recreation area in the country to earn the designation. And in 2024, Gunnison Gorge, downstream from the Black Canyon, joined the list. What that creates is a single unbroken dark sky corridor along the Gunnison River from Garakonti and Black Canyon and the Gunnison Gorge. More than 100 miles of protected night end-to-end right here in our backyard. And the work isn't finished. Dr. Grossman passed the baton to Olivia Bobbitt, leading the Western Slope Dark Skies Coalition, to focus on what could be the most ambitious dark sky achievement on the Western Slope yet, getting all of San Miguel County certified as a dark sky reserve.
It's non-trivial. If we achieve designation, we will be the first county ever to have done this. It will be precedent setting, according to Dark Sky International. there are only two other dark sky reserves in the country. There are only 24 in the entire world. So this is a major achievement. And so that's why I stepped down as president, just to take this on.
Sure.
It'll be my swan song. I'm looking hard at 86 years old. I think it's time for me to ride into the sunset. If other people can do something similar to that, then that dream of the Western Slope coming into reserve all up and down, well, I doubt if I'll see that in my lifetime, but it's certainly a great dream, and it's something that is achievable.
The Western Slope Dark Skies Coalition recently brought on a new executive director. Olivia Bobbitt moved to Naderita in 2024 and found out that it was a dark sky community. She showed up to a meeting and within months was running the regional coalition.
So I stepped into this role with a fresh perspective and a real commitment to working, to making dark sky work feel welcoming and accessible. So with this transition, it's an opportunity to invite more people who love the night sky to join and help shape what's next. We support local groups who are interested in becoming international dark sky an international dark sky place. The application process is pretty lengthy, so having an organization that is dedicated to supporting with that application and supporting with funding as well. Since we are such a rural community, it is important to have that umbrella organization that could be of support and have that hands-on training, hands-on support that rural communities don't typically see.
So what does dark sky work actually look like? Partly it's big. City ordinances, land use codes, reserve designations. But Olivia says it also starts close to home.
And it's as simple as like closing your curtains at night to reduce the light pollution that you're shining outside, or putting a shield on your outside light, or using warmer tones, or using motion sensors. There's simple things that people can do to improve the health outside with their wildlife, but also improve their own personal health as well.
Craig Childs wrote a whole book about what it means to leave the light behind. In it, he describes biking out of Las Vegas, out of the Formula One Grand Prix, in fact, off of the strip into the Mojave Desert, night by night, farther from the glow of the lights of Las Vegas.
I'm drawn to Las Vegas. I'm drawn to
Me too.
I've never been on a cruise ship, but I'm drawn to that. Oh, lights, sound, action. There's something very appealing about that, and it takes more effort to go toward the darkness. That's a deeper kind of pleasure that takes you farther than the lights will carry you. And so leaving the light place and going for the dark was hard in a way. I mean, our first night camped on the edge of Vegas in that ejecta blanket of trash and whatever that lies outside the city. Looking back in at the city that night, it was windy, it was cold, it was trashy, and I was thinking, oh, we should have stayed for one more night in the city. We could have had a blast. There's a tiki bar down there that we'd be at right now. You know, that there is something there's a gravity to that. And this other gravity, though, it pulls you away from that, where you start to, your senses expand. Because I imagine, like on the cruise ship, you're in the bubble and you're having a great time in the bubble, but you don't realize how large the world is around you. You're inside looking inward. And when you leave Vegas, when you leave the cruise ship, you go out to where your senses start opening up, and you're aware of the quiet, you're aware of the stars, the world becomes much larger.
Craig Childs gave a talk at the Montrose Pavilion earlier this spring, and I asked a few people in the lobby what the night sky means to them.
To me, it's connection to nature. It's going back to nature. It's what we don't have in the cities, what we don't have in the busyness of towns. Well, I volunteer in Bear's Ears, so at the ranger station, and I sleep in a tiny home out back, and every night you look out the window and it's pitch black and the sky just kind of crushes down on you, and it's pretty amazing.
It's a necessity to us, I think. I don't think that we would be interested in living somewhere where that was denied.
Right, and we've run into people in our travels, as you said, that are amazed at, like out in Death Valley or whatever, amazed at the night skies. And they, oh, can you believe that? Have you ever seen that? And we're like, yeah, we see this every night.
I spoke with one attendee about the transitions from light to dark and the importance of dark places and what those mean to her.
I think it's about the transitions in life and how that symbolized that and kind of brought that into deep focus for me, because there's all these phases in our life, and they all have meaning, and there's struggles within them, like with finding your way through the darkness, and yet there's always the transition to finding that meaning, even in the hard times.
As Dr. Grossman and I recorded our interview, four astronauts were on their way to the moon, the first crewed lunar mission in more than 50 years. I asked him what he made of it.
It is a great adventure for us to go to another body outside of our atmosphere. And so I really extol and appreciate what these astronauts and what the whole system is doing. The James Webb telescope, the Hubble telescope, the engineering, the testing, the all that has to go in to put these people in that spaceship slinging around the moon, that particular maneuver, how to do it, when to fire the engines so that you don't go spinning off and never come back. Okay? What we are seeing is the great part of humanity on this planet, the species at its very best.
Here, I'll return to what you heard at the top of the episode, and that's the voice of astronaut Christina Koch, reflecting on her thoughts as she stared back at the Earth from the orbit of the moon.
So when we saw Tiny Earth, people asked our crew what impressions we had. And honestly, what struck me wasn't necessarily just Earth, it was all the blackness around it. Earth was just this lifeboat hanging undisturbingly in the universe.
We are so lucky on the western slope of Colorado to be blessed with some of the darkest skies in the country. We're among that lucky 20% of the planet's population that has a porthole out of this, as Christina Grossman says, lifeboat that we call Earth, to see our home galaxy, the Milky Way. That's in part thanks to the work of those we've heard from today, but it's also up to us. If you want to learn more about what you can do to protect dark skies on the western slope, go to westerncoloradodarksky.org. They're looking for board members. Or if you live in Ridgeway, Paonia, or the west end of Montrose County, your communities already have International Dark Sky Communities designations. But if you live in Ophir or Silverton, reach out to those in your community that are already working to become dark sky communities. And you can learn much more about dark skies from International Dark Sky at darksky.org. And perhaps the simplest action that you can take this summer, just get out of town and go outside on a moonless night this summer, take a seat, and spend some time appreciating the view that we have of our universe that so many others don't because of light pollution. Craig Child's new book, The Wild Dark, is available from Torrey House Press. And if you joined us midstream, find the full episode under the news tab at kvnf.org or by searching for KVNF Locomotion on Spotify. This episode contained music by Kyle Preston, Yair Cohen, and Hotchkiss musician, poet, and KVNF Global Express DJ Ben Bentley. Of course, special thanks to Olivia Bobbitt, Executive Director of the Western Slope Dark Skies Coalition, Dr. Robert Grossman, working on the San Miguel Dark Skies Reserve, and Craig Childs. For KVNF, I'm Brody Wilson.